have a copy?
Okay.
I want to discuss the dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu, the dialogue between Moshe Rabbeinu and his father-in-law. And I'm going to be questioning you regarding this dialogue, and you'll see why in a few moments. Vayomer Moshe, Lechova ben Ruel ha-Midyani chalsei Moshe. Right away, you should be troubled by something here. What should trouble you at this point?
Why is it called Lechova? Yeah.
Number one, why do you have two names? By the way, Yisro had how many names? Seven names, seven. Correct? Seven shemos to Yisro, Rashi calls it. But here, the Torah uses two of them. Vayomer Moshe Lechova, and then Ben Ruel ha-Midyani chalsei Moshe. So if I were to ask you, which of these two names would you say is one of them, I think, if you have this deity, is clearly of a very positive nature. The other perhaps is not as positive. Which of the two would you say is which? Correct. Chovav is positive. Rashi quotes in the Chumash and Yisro, without getting into the details. And maybe just give out a speech to all the people, okay? Ruel HaMidyani reminds us of his, that we said, Midianite roots. So right away, that should strike you. I'm very into reading the text very carefully. You may have figured that out by now. And so you'll see here, Moshe says, Lechova ben Ruel HaMidyani, these are two names. And it's also, he's quoted as being Chosin Moshe. Okay, you're asking a good question. Strange thing. Vayom and Moshe, Lechovov, Ben Ruel, Amidyani, Kol Sin Moshe.
Which is then Yitro also, right?
What does it say in Yitro? Don't mind me.
Yeah? Chotei Moshe, it says.
You're right. Vayikach Yitro, Chotei Moshe. That's what's written there. 100%.
You're 100%
right. But Rashi there explains one of the seven names, if you remember. Chovov, he brings the what? Chibub HaTorah, loving the Torah. Rabbi Yisro was someone who loved the Torah. But anyway, here we have a description of Moshe speaking to Chova ben Ruel HaMidyani Chosin Moshe. It's a little striking, as you pointed out correctly. Vayom in Moshe, that says Ruel HaMidyani Chosin Moshe. Strange. I continue. Nosim Anachnu Amokam Shomer Hashem. This language already should also strike you. What is the problematica with the two words Nosim Anachnu? How should it have been written in proper Hebrew? Anachnu Nosim, correct? And after the sin, we are about to travel. Earlier this morning, I described the triumphant journey to Eretz Yisrael, and it would seem to be the proper formulation should be "Anachnu Nosim," not "Nosim Anachnu." Should have brought your grandfather with you.
There's also a break in between in
my home.
Baruch Hashem. Why?
There's a break in the
Tzadikim. I met a wonderful grandfather this morning. Outstanding. That's a real tamakocha. No nonsense. Sharp like anything. Just like his grandson. Yes.
There's a break in the Ta'amim. No
same.
But it's separating it.
Okay, but here the problem is that the language seems to be, as I said, somewhat inverted. I continue. No simanachta alakam shomer Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu tells his father, we're about to travel. He says it with an enthusiasm, with an infectious excitement, to the place of shomer Hashem, also at Tein Lachem. Isn't it a little strange they didn't identify what place we're talking about? What should it have said? Nosim Anachnu El Eretz Yisrael. Or perhaps identify the place a bit more precisely as opposed to that place that Hashem said, I'm going to give you. But he tells his father-in-law, L'cha yitanu ve'itavnu lach, come with us, and guess what? Ve'itavnu lach. You will also be the recipient of that beneficence. Correct? You'll also be the benefactor of that benefaction. I have to speak a bit of English. And Ki Hashem Dibra Tov on Yisrael, because Hashem promised to call Yisrael good things. What is the reaction of Yisrael? Vayom Re'elah, Lo, with a capital Amen. Lo Elech. Or as the Russian premier many years ago, Khrushchev, said, Nyet. What does Nyet mean?
No.
I hate going. Lo Elech. Where am I going? Ki Mel Artsi, the Molarati Elech. By the way, this expression of Artsi Molarati is used another time in Chumash. Where?
Oh,
yes.
Excellent.
Lechlecha, Me'artzecha, Uri Molarticha, Be'sadich al Artsa She'areka. So there, of course, it's used in the sense of leave your land, your birthplace. And here, what does Yisrael say? I'm going back home. There's no place like home.
What's the point of the double?
That's a general question. What's the distinction between Eretz and Moledet? Please tell the difference. What is Eretz referring to? Oh, look at this. Iridescent, as always. What is it between Eretz and Moledet? What?
I want to make sure I'm noticed.
You don't have to shwell. Baruch Hashem, we know you are Baruch Hashem, and Shmo Holech Lefanav. His name goes in front of him. Especially now that he's Baruch Hashem, he might say Nefesh Rav. So. What is it between Eretz and Moledet? What's the between Eretz and Moledet? You know some Hebrew by now. What's Eretz and what? Kiyam El Artsi Bim El Artsi. What's the difference?
Birthplace. Right?
And the other is?
What's other?
Artsy.
It's my land.
Correct. Molarty is Moledet, my birthplace, and Artsy is my land. How would you say it? Yeah?
Well, Rashi says that it's possessions and family.
Correct. You know Rashi. Wow. I should have been worried about people like you who know Rashi. So Rashi says, in Mishul Mechasai, in Mishul Mishpachi. Molarty is related to Mishpacha. Excellent. What you said. And Artsy relates to Mechasai. Excellent. Now, the reason why I say this is because, again, I'm happy you pointed it out. Artsy and Molarty have two different aspects to them. One is the way Rashi, as you quoted, refers to, namely, there's some monetary element over here. Molarty already is a more familiar element, an element of consanguinity, if I can use that terminology. Namely, family and all that. And almost in some respects, there's a kind of contrast between these two. I'll get to it in a few moments. So what does he tell him? I'm not going. Now Moshe Rabbeinu, does he give up? No, Moshe Rabbeinu decides, try again. And now we have the second, shall we say, attempt on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu to importune his father-in-law and try to convince him to make aliyah. Vayomer, al no ta'azov osanu, don't abandon us. Ki al kein yodato chanoseinu b'midbar. You know about our encampment in the midbar. And guess what? V'hayisalonu le'inoyim. What could you do for us? You will be... What function will you have? Our eyes. Namely, are you familiar with the Bedouin scouts who work for Tzal?
Or they work there.
Sorry?
Depends which ones, but yeah.
Yes. I'm talking about the ones. It looks like we have a robe of Sephardim. But anyway, Baruch Hashem, Ken Yibu, Sephardim Yisrael, and Ken Yibu Ashkenaz of Yisrael. I like them both. Anyway, so it says here, what will you do? You will reconnoitre the land. You will scout for us. You are the eyes, shall we say, of Klal Yisrael. And he continues. When you come with us, that which Hashem promised us, he'll do for you. So there are two questions I will now ask you. Here we have two requests on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu to his father-in-law to accompany them, to make aliyah, if you will. The response of Yisrael to the first request was, Niet, lo elech, I'm going back home. There's no place like home. When I grew up, there was a kind of digging, if I can use that term. But I don't recall the exact digging. My father was showing me, remember.
There's no place like home. With treasures and palaces, there's no place like home.
Home sweet home! That's what Yisrael said. I ain't going to Eretz Israel. I'm going there. I live in Flatbush, Deal, New Jersey.
Holy Land.
Holy Land. I won't have it. Should show about this. So now the question is, what happened at the second request? We don't know if he changed his mind. Do we know? Did Yisrael consent? Did he acquiesce or not? What does the pasuk say? Doesn't tell us. But we do know, apparently here, we don't hear yet. We don't hear a negative kind of response. So let's assume there was some affirmative response on the part of Yisrael. Now the question is why? What changed between request number one and request number two that, shall we say, the second request was met with a positive, affirmative response? So I want you to tell me now, look again at the language of the text.
The first one he's just telling him. Secondly, he's saying, is that a more...
Number one, excellent, one. So let's actually start to delineate all the differences between the two. Difference number one is, as you pointed out correctly, Moshe Rabbeinu initially, shall we say, issued a rather strong kind of statement, or he pontificated. Pontificate means Nosim Anachnu. He declared, "We are making Aliyah. L'chai Yitaro, you come with us. Ki Hashem Dibretel Al Yisrael." And so, what did Yisrael say to that? Yet, you remember? You don't remember when Khrushchev took his shoe and pounded it on the, shall we say, the United Nations chamber to indicate his displeasure with, he might everything he was displeased with. Anyway, the second time around, what's the language? Al no ta'azov osano. That's an excellent distinction number one. Al no means, pretty please, will you come with me? What else? Number two? Yes?
In the second request, it's giving Yitro a purpose of coming.
Excellent. 1,000% correct. Like, in Bakasha number one, what do we have over here? Bakasha number one, he is, as I said, pontificating. He is
giving him any separate.
Absolutely none whatsoever. There's no rhyme or reason. What exactly am I going to do? I'll just be a cog in the wheel. It's irrelevant. I'm traveling, you are traveling. Do as I do, and the like. The second one, he now has a function, has a purpose. Number three, yes?
The second one, he doesn't mention anything about entering the land of Israel with them.
Namely, what do you mean? To refer specifically to what they're talking about?
In the first one, he says,
No sima nafto el amoka masher amar Hashem. And the second time around, what does it say?
It says, be our eyes.
Correct, doesn't mention el amoka masher amar Hashem. So what's the difference between those two descriptions? Why is the first, shall we say, less acceptable than the second?
Sounds like a permanent stay.
Yeah, what would you say?
He has to travel them, and then if he wants to come back after. Like, I don't know.
Okay, but that needs a little bit more attention. Can anyone really distinguish between these two? Why is it the first time where the place is not really identified, but he says, El Amokem Hashemah Hashem, also attain Lochem. And the second time, he doesn't mention anything, as Jacob said correctly. Yeah?
Because the place doesn't matter to him. I mean, just as long as he feels like he has a purpose for where they're going.
Okay, I'm going to head to that direction in a moment. Yes, Michael, yes.
Even more than just the reason, Moshe's disclosing to him in the second request that they're dependent on him and they need him.
Excellent. Okay, all of you are correct. There's a sense of dependency. What else? Yeah, Isaac, yeah?
Maybe the second one he's saying, please don't leave us. And the first one he's saying, come with us. And one of them is saying, like, he's already been part of us. Please don't leave us. Like, don't abandon us. I'll not.
Okay, but let me ask you something else, which is really a fourth distinction that I want to get at. Is there any difference in the Hatavah that Moshe promised him the first time and the Hatavah that he promised him the second time? By Hatavah, I mean the beneficence, the benefit. What benefit was told in the first, shall we say, request? The pasuk says in the pasuk Chavtes, "L'cho yitanu ve'itamnu loch ki Hashem diber tov al Yisrael." Look at the second time in pasuk Lamed Beis, "V'hoya hatov ahu asher yetiv Hashem imanu ve'itamnu loch." Is there any such major distinction between the two in the language, in the syntax, in the tone, in the terminology, in the nuance? I'm asking anything.
Yisrael.
Namely,
Israel.
The first time Hashem Dibre Tov Al Yisrael. Because he's speaking in a very general kind of way. And the second time around, much more specifically related to Yisrael. So there are four distinctions so far that we have made. Now I want to read to you a Ramban, that the Ramban is the one who is, as always, as I mentioned this morning, the Ramban is always the one who's troubled by these kinds of repetitive type of presentations. Mr. Ramban says, Rabbi Rashi, Ki Chovav, what is the name Chovav? A name that was called to Yisrael. Kasher Shov Taras Yisrael. Shemechavi V'Satorah, one who loves the Torah. So Chovav is a very positive kind of statement. Ki Zed Derakam Yisgayer, anyone who converts, their name is changed, etc. V'inei Moshe Achil Apam Malachis Yimoyem, Moshe importuned him, implored him, please come with us. V'yamalov Stav, the first time he said, Ve'itadnu lach, says the Ramban. Look at how the Ramban means the pasuk. Who chashav? What did Yisrael think? What is he going to give him? She'yitlom and ashlal kesef ezov godin v'tzom lebakar. What will he give him?
Booty.
Exactly. Material goods. Gold, silver, clothing, flock. What will he not give him? Excellent. Real estate. Dalai Lama is in Eretz Yisrael. V'lotiyah lo nachla b'tocha. V'alkein, he said, yet. Lo yechafetz. The other, I'm going home. Why? What do I have over there home? I got real estate. In Flatbush, I got real estate. In Deal, New Jersey, I have real estate. Don't mind me, Shmuel. The other, ki emel arzi v'emol arzi eilech. I just love this value. Ki shom li nachalom v'nechassin v'chavot. In Flatbush and Deal, I have nachalom and the chassin v'chavot. By the way, it's the same thing in Teaneck and Chicago. As alti nagut. It's all the same. There I have Nachla, there I have the Chosin, there I have Kavod, who's the high priest. Amal Moshe, Al No Tazav Osana. So now we look at the Rabban, read the Pasuk. Al No Tazav Osana, Ki Midaitcha. Midbar, you know the Midbar well, you know the Bedouins, as I said, know the Midbar well. Tia Lelele Nayim, Bekibu Shar Ratzo, Spitorin, Radera Chashun Adaba. You'll give us, obviously, all the GPSs that we need in order to guide us. How to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And then it goes further. We'll be called Atom Bahu Asheyitiv Hashem Lanu Neitiv Loch. Not simply in, shall we say, Ve'itamnu Loch, material possessions, gold and silver, but rather Ramaz Loses Lo Achuz Ali Eretz Tova. He's going to give him a piece of real estate in Eretz Yisrael. Bischaro Al Tircho V'Yezraso, because of all the assistance that he will obviously provide us. Asheyazo V'Kibush Oretz. The Aldati, the Ramban says, even though the Torah does not tell us, what did he do? Did he say yes or no the second time? Let's say the principle of Shtika Kol Da. Shtika Kol Da means he was quiet. So we assume that what? He acquiesced. He, shall we say, concurred. He was masking. That's what the Ramban assumes. Ki nisratzi lo bezeh. Va'asa ken kasher iskardi shom. And the Ramban quotes the Yerushalmi and Bikurim, Perakal of Al-Hadalit, that B'nei ken yichosei Moshe levim Bikurim, because they own a piece of property there as well. So you see, the Ramban was troubled by this issue. Ramban was actually concerned, what's the distinction between the first Bakasha, the second Bakasha, and the Ramban understands it, I think, very beautifully the way you understood it. Namely, that the attraction of Eretz Yisrael is one not simply because of its material nature, physical nature, but because what is in Eretz Yisrael? There is a spiritual problem in Eretz Yisrael. And that's what I now wish to discuss a bit more extensively. I assume you are familiar a little bit with the Torah's description of Eretz Yisrael, which you don't have in front of you, but I'll read you some of the psukim. Yes, I'll read the language in Dvarim Perkei Aleph. Eretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Dorish Osa Tomi Eni Hashem Elokecha Bo Merishis Hashona Verach Rishona. The fact of the matter is, the Shechina dwells in Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban writes, the Hashkocha of Hashem, divine providence, is far greater in Eretz Yisrael than it is in Chutz Laaretz. Why? Because of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Halevi writes in a very famous kina that we say at Tisha B'Av, Ashkenazim that is, Tzion halo tishali, chayei neshamot avir artech. What does that mean, translate? Chayei neshamot, the avir of Eretz Yisrael, the environment of Eretz Yisrael, not only does it sustain a person's guf, but also sustains his what is neshama, his very soul. Eretz Yisrael is the ideal makom for kiyum mitzvahs. Eretz Yisrael gives a neshama chayi netzach, eternal life. There are many mitzvahs that you know we can't fulfill in Chutz Laaretz. Shumas, Vaisa, Shrias cannot be fulfilled in Chutz Laaretz. Only in Eretz Yisrael we can fulfill them. The Ramban in Vayikra Perek Yudches and Rashi in Dvarim Perek Yud Aleph and Eker, and the really the sheet that was promulgated and propagated by the Ramban. But the Ramban says even mitzvah she'enim tzuyos baretz, such as Shabbos and Pesach and Tefillin and Mezuzah, where's the ideal locus for kiyum of these mitzvahs? Tafka in Eretz Yisrael. And the Ramban claims that the reason why we're doing it Flatbush and Deal and Teaneck is practice, in order to, shall we say, give us the background, the experience When we make Aliyah, come back to Eretz Yisrael, we'll know what to do. That's not about Chita. Very radical position.
Come back to Eretz Yisrael.
Quite radical. What?
Come back to Eretz Yisrael and Mashiach.
Not Mashiach. Correct. To such an extent, well, I'll share with you something else, which you probably are not aware of. Chazal quote, and this actually I found in the Yerushalmi in Arabic. Why would I be involved in Yerushalmi in Arabic? Because the Nafayom is now learning Arabic. So I decided to take a peek in the Bavli, which I do on a daily basis. And Yerushalmi as well. So I found Yerushalmi in Arabic. Yerushalmi says that Klal Yisrael said regarding Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos. Are you familiar with that? There are people who hold 2 days of Yom Tov. Chutzar, so they come down to sell somehow, they forgot about it. Even though they're still living in Chutzar. Whatever the case is. So Klal Yisrael said the following. I, in the Gola, fulfilled 2 days of Yom Tov. I thought I'm going to get schar for both of them. However, I only get schar, says Yerushalmi, for 1 day. Yerushalmi, Erevin, Peragim, Alachates. So I saw the Chassam Sofer yesterday, and this Yerushalmi, why is that? The person observes 2 days, should he get schar for 2 days? He observed 2 days of Yom Tov in Chutzar. So the answer is, apparently, even though 1 day is Yom Tov, the other day is not Yom Tov. Of course, we're talking about when the Kach Shachan Shalpi Ariya, like the Gemara says. However, at the end of the day, this guy, for 2 days, didn't go to work, didn't open up his business. For 2 days, he went to pray at the synagogue, correct? 2 days? 2 days, he went to Daven Shachar, the Musaf. He drank Dalat Kosas for 2 days, 2 nights. He ate Matzah Mara, 2 days. Why should he get schar for 2 days? So some says, of course he deserves to get a schar for 2 days. However, in Eretz Yisrael, the same dog of Kedusha, you don't need 2 days for that. You can get it in 1 day. Chutzal, you need 2 days to get the same dog of Kedusha that takes you to get in one course in Eretz Yisrael.
What if you're 1 day in Chutzal Eretz?
What was that?
Let's say you're in Chutzal Eretz, but you're a banner Eretz Yisrael, so you only hold 1 day.
You only hold 1 day, but you end up holding 2 days as far as Yisrael Malach, according
not
to
Moshe. Sure. Not according to...
Not as long as that Pesukim. Most Pesukim say certainly before Hesya, and many Pesukim say even Tzino. But whatever the case is, the point of Sam Tov is that in Chutzal Eretz, you need 2 days. In Eretz Yisrael, you eat Kazayis and Matzah 1 night, and Kazayis and Mara 1 night. You're Zolcha ready to the Mitzvah Matzah, the Mitzvah Mara. In Chutzal Eretz, you need 2 days in order to get to the same level. I saw that Sam Tov writes. What?
So as far as I'm right.
Okay, that's not really the issue, right?
Who's that from?
I want to read a comment about Dessler. To you. I saw Mr. Melio. He writes, and this you can appreciate. All of you who can appreciate this, probably in a very substantive and real kind of way. He writes on Kelly Gimel, page 196 of my Mr. Melio. He says, "Ba'osek ba'Torah be'Eretz Yisrael." Someone who studies Torah as himself, Zochet the Siyata Dishmaya Meruba, Vashmoa Mirchedet. And the Zochet here is unbelievable Siyata Dishmaya. Udorenu on Rom Bechush, Ketzat Tzirim, Pauskim Batorah, Mitpatrim Eretz Yisrael. Young people studying Torah, what happens in Eretz Yisrael? They flip like pancakes. Masigim Harve Yoter, Me'asher Masigim Bechinuch HaTorani, Bishara Aratzot. And why is that so? Why can't you do what you did this year in good old Flatbush Iraq Kodesh? And why can't you do what you did this year in good old Deal Iraq Kodesh? And why can't you do what you did this year in good old Tinek Iraq Kodesh? And in good old New York, not so Iraq Kodesh? Why is it not possible? And the answer is because Eretz Yisrael has a clear Siyata Dishmaya, a clear Kedusha, and there's no question that that is the focus and that is actually the success of Eretz Yisrael. So now, coming back to the Ramban, and I believe this is exactly what the Ramban is after. Ramban is telling us the godliness of Eretz Yisrael is not, shall we say, the material aspect of Eretz Yisrael. That's not the greatness of Eretz Yisrael. One could argue that Chutz Laaretz has many more material elements that are attractive than Eretz Yisrael. And even I will be masking to that. Someone asked me, where do you have the Grand Canyon in Eretz Yisrael? So I thought, what are you talking about? The Grand Canyon is right here. It's Be'amo, the Machtesh. They've been to the Machtesh.
Yeah,
but the craters. Yes, albeit on a smaller scale, masking. But you have everything you have in Chutzars, you have in Eretz Yisrael.
Now, once we take Petra, we'll have Petra.
Shekhar. But what you have over here, even more than you have in Chutzars, is this element, as I said, the element of what? The spiritual element. Eretz is called by the Torah. Eretz. The language of the pasuk, I don't have my chumash. Yes, I do. I read the following series of psukim. Torah says, in the beginning of, actually it's mentioned twice in the beginning of Dvarim, both in Vaschanan and Ekev. Two different descriptions. That's another question, why it's repeated twice. The answer is Tzvei Dinim, but I can't discuss it now. But there are Tzvei Dinim here at Dielectric. The Torah mentions a description of Eretz Yisrael, and then again in Ekev, at the beginning of Ekev. Here it says, Ki Hashem Elokecha Mevi'acha El Eretz Tova. He's bringing you to a good land. Eretz Nachlin Moim, Ayanot Utomot Yatsin Babika Vahar, Eretz Chito Sora Gevin Tainam Rimo, Eretz Zeshem El Dvash, Eretz Hashalom Miskein Estocha Balachet Elo Tetzal Kova, nothing is missing in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Hashem Abonel Barzel, Me'areh Tatzom Nechoshes, Yachalte Savato, Uberachtas Hashem Elokecha El Eretz Hatova, Hashem Nosama. So I believe that's exactly what the Ramban here is commenting on. The reason why the first Bakasha was rejected by Yisrael, because Yisrael realized that Eretz Yisrael, its preeminence lies not so much in the material realm, but far more in the spiritual realm. That is the greatness of Eretz Yisrael, what I just mentioned earlier, and that's why Eretz Yisrael is called Ha'aretz HaTova. Ha'aretz HaTova, because of the mitzvahs, HaTulis Ba'aretz, because of all the beautiful mitzvahs that apply all in Eretz Yisrael, but the Chlal, because of the spiritual possessions that Eretz Yisrael has. I want to begin again by referring to a medrash. A medrash Chazal, the Rebbe says, Avraham Avinu, what a striking medrash. The medrash says, Avraham Avinu, Hashem told him, Lechucha, Me'artzucha, U'mimalatucha, the same language that Yisrael used, U'mibesavicha, Lo'aretz Hashem. So again, there Avraham is told to leave his birthplace, and Eretz and Molatecha, El Aretz Asher. Did Hashem tell him where to go? Did he direct him to go to Eretz Yisrael? Does it mention anything where? Nothing, not a word. How's Avraham Avinu supposed to know where to go?
It's the censor.
Where was the, shall you say, the Geiger counter or the censor or the whatever instrumentation Avraham Avinu used? Where was it?
Internal.
Yes, but what exactly guided him? So the Medrash writes a very beautiful Medrash. Then he says, and I don't look in, that Avraham Avinu began to wander. Pasuk says, "Vini alech lecha." I showed him. Hashem promised him, "Yeshcha legod godol v'abarecha v'agadol shemecha v'yid bracha v'abarkum v'varchecha v'kalecha or v'nidu v'chokam v'shmatanam v'zarecha v'nei anochi imach v'shatir v'shatir v'vashir zeh alam v'azos ki lo ezal kashem." Fine. What does the pasuk exactly say? He says, Hashem told him, "Kum misalech v'aretz l'orkul l'rochma ki l'chayim nechem." Go and traverse the land. Avraham Avinu walked the length and breadth of Eretz Yisrael. Chazal the Gemara Bavasa. The Gemara Daf Kuf says he was going to Eretz Yisrael by walking the length and breadth of the land. But there's a medrash, and the medrash says actually here went looking for the medrash, and the medrash says the following. The medrash says that Avraham Avinu was walking. He came to a land where he saw they were essentially. I don't have the exact rush of the medrash. I see it's not written explicitly yet. But he saw actually a land that was essentially completely wild without any, they were just partying and having a great time. He said, "Halavai shelo yeh lechelik b'aretz hazot. I don't want any part of this land." Then he came to another land, he saw they were engaging in tzira b'shas tzira, harisha b'shas harisha, they were in a disciplined kind of way, cultivating the land. Halavai shelo yeh lechelik b'aretz hazot. So the way I understand this medrash is not the way the medrash seems to read in a literal kind of fashion. But rather, the Medrash is telling us that the beauty of Eretz Yisrael lies not in the material aspect of Eretz Yisrael, but rather in the spiritual aspect of Eretz Yisrael. That's the godless of Eretz Yisrael. And that explains what the Miftah Eliyahu and Rav Dessler pointed out earlier, I just read to you, why is it that you, Baruch Hashem, when you come to Eretz Yisrael, somehow you are able to undergo an efflorescence. That is to say, you began to prosper and you began to flourish. Why is that so? Two reasons. One, because you are away from the environment that you were. But number two, because Eretz Yisrael has a certain condition to it. No question, has a certain spirituality. And that's what Yisrael, his Gog encounter, that's what he picked up. So the first time when Shabina told him that I'm offering you material goods, he rejected it, categorically, dismissed it summarily. I'm going back home, I have that as well there, I don't need you. But once he told him, I'm not Tazo Vosanu, Kyamkin Yadatu Kanasinu Bamidbar, or Yisrael, at that point, that's when Yisrael acquiesced. And apparently, the way the Ramban understands it, came on Aliyah, and as a result of that, received the chelek in Eretz Yisrael. And because of that, I wish to now say a few words about Eretz Yisrael. And again, going back to the days when I came here in 1971-72. I was 4 years older than you are. I already graduated college. And in my days, it wasn't custom to go to Eretz Yisrael after high school. It was practically unheard of. No one did it. There were only two yeshivas that existed in Eretz Yisrael at the time. Actually, three for Americans. One was Yeshivat Kerem Yavne, which still exists. The other was a yeshiva called Itri that I attended. And the third was the best meal in town, BMT. Where we used to, shall we say, have our eats quite often. We were here in this building, and nothing has changed in the last 41 years. Just an amazing thing. BMT, best meal in town. When I came to Eretz Yisrael, I was probably spend much more time traversing the country than you did, I would imagine. Not so much in Tiulin, I'll have to be honest, although I did do that as well. Ben Asmanim, I did Tiulin. Yeshiva didn't have organized Tiulin. That was not part of their, shall we say, Misgeret, Bichlal. But we had a Mashkiach in Yeshiva, Avyal Shratz, Sheikhya. So he's a man today in his 70s, and at that time he was obviously 42 years younger. And he would, he knew Yerushalayim in the back of his hand, he's Yerushalmi, and would take us all over Yerushalayim, and actually he took us on many Tiulim all over Eretz Yisrael. I was able to see good parts of Eretz Yisrael. At that time, my yeshiva was located in an area called Beit Tzfafa. Beit Tzfafa is today part of Talpiot. There was no Talpiot. Talpiot was non-existent in my days. It was literally a Jordanian army outpost that the Rashi claimed he captured with the Jordanians. Okay. I'll say Yishmakom Mistapeg. I'm not going to answer that. Chozo. We were there, and actually it was a very beautiful area. Itri is still there, the campus is still there. It's 42 years older than it was, and we actually, from there, that was our point of departure. And I'll tell you what I did when I was in Eretz Yisrael the year I was there. When I say I traversed Eretz Yisrael, I used to be in Panovich once a week to hear Shiurim from Rav Shach, and from Rav Shmuel Wazowski, and from the Gdolei Rosh Yeshiva. I used to go to Hebron. That time Rosh Yeshiva was no longer living, actually, also one of the greatest Gdolei Olam. On Matzei Shabbos, I left the yeshiva. I left at 12 o'clock at night. Why? Because the yeshiva, if they knew what I was about to do, I would have been dismissed from the yeshiva. I went to learn Tanya in Rechob Balatanya in Be'eshar. I learned the entire Tanya that year, every Matzei Shabbos. I used to spend the whole Matzei Shabbos learning Tanya of the Chabad, Hasidus, and then I would have Masikin on Sunday morning. On Friday, I played handball. Every Friday, religiously. Did you ever see a handball court in this country? So we built a handball court in Itri. We built it up in the Givah, and we actually got together some Arab chaps. We paid them a few liras. That time there was no shkolim around, it was the lira. And they went and put up a wall of beton for us, and then we proceeded to play handball. We only played handball, we also played racquetball. Every Friday was the, but Friday we had a Seder. Seder was over at 1 o'clock. After the Seder, we played racquetball. It was part of the afternoon. Went into Yerushalayim to purchase some ragalach for Shabbos. Came back and were able to learn the entire Friday night. Every Shabbos in Itri, I learned the entire Ramban Alator. That is to say, on that Pasha. Spent the entire Friday night and Shabbos morning doing it. I learned Shai Migal Vechatagum. In the course of a year and a half in Eretz Yisrael, I learned four Masechtas. Why? As I've said to you in the past, I had no cell phone, I had no device, no machinery. There was no telephone in the entire yeshiva. The only telephones were in Yerushalayim, Rechob Yafo, in the main post office. I went there, Erev Yom Kippur, to speak to my parents, Aleihem HaShalom. There were 300 people waiting for four telephones. And that time you had to use Asimonim. Those slugs, you put them in the telephone, and in the course of 3 minutes you would go through 50 asimonim. You used to carry these massive, heavy bags with you of asimonim. They are lead slugs. You know what they look like?
Yeah, I have asimon cutlets.
Okay, and so I could call my parents, and so I sent them an aerogram, a letter, on a weekly basis. They sent me back a letter. And I was here for a year and a half. And I used to go on let's say Shabbos after Maariv to the house of Kardin Chassid. And he was Nifter, unfortunately, a few months ago. He was one of the biggest tzaddikim in Yerushalayim. And I was able to be towing from the unbelievable beauty of Yerushalayim. On Friday night, after supper, we walked into Yerushalayim, before we learned Ramban al-Torah and the Pasha, to hear Avshalom Shvadvon, the Magid of Yerushalayim. It was quite a walk from Talpiot all the way to Zichron Moshe, you know Zichron Moshe area? Quite familiar with it. And one week he was speaking Yiddish, one week in Hebrew, and he was absolutely riveting in Yiddish and in Hebrew. Hundreds and hundreds of people came to hear him in a small shul in Zichron Moshe, and I think I told you this before, that the little children, they call here, the Yerushalmi children, Chayot HaKodesh. I put the stress on Chayot more than Kodesh. Or you call them Chayos HaKodesh, the little, wild, holy angels. I would say more little, wild, less holy, and not so much angels. But whatever the case is, they were hanging from the rafters of Zichron Moshe. Listen to this guy. He was absolutely riveting beyond belief. You cannot imagine how we were so enamored of him, both in Yiddish and in Hebrew, which I happen to know both languages relatively well. And whatever the case is, and after he would finish, they would imitate him. They'd walk out, skipping in the streets, and he used to have certain expressions that he used all the time. Again and again and again. They would imitate him, and they would say, Billy Pluji, Meir and Meirus, Hapli Mofili. That's how he used to talk. And he was among the Dolei Yerushalayim that I was lucky to see, and I saw many of them. In my yeshiva, we have like a Mizrach band of great Rashi yeshiva. Rav Shmuel Orbach, the son of Rav Shlomo Zalman, the oldest son of the Rosh HaKoyel in my yeshiva. Rav Shlomo Fischer is still there, and the Yandara must be in the late 80s. Rav Shlomo Fischer, brother, he had Dayan Fischer Zatzal, one of the great Dayan Yerushalayim, a man who knows Kala Torah Kula and everything else, including Spinoza and the Rav and Rav Kook, and you name it, he knows it. There's nothing he doesn't know, and he knows the entire Chazon Ish. He was one of the Rabbeim in the yeshiva. Rav Yoel Shvaz was the Mashkiach. Rav Yom Zil, the great Tzadik, Chazon Ish called him the Tzadik, was the Mashkiach of the yeshiva. Look who I was looking to. The people I saw, the models that I saw in front of me, and there were three brothers. One of them you know, comes to the yeshiva on Sunday, Rav Aaron David, and there's another brother who's a Rav Bit Cholib of Hillel Yaffa Hospital in Chadera, who's in Yisrael as well. And you don't know because he doesn't often come to Yerushalayim. We were three of us were there at the same time, and we were Baruch Hashem able to be zoteh to be towing from the beauty of Yerushalayim HaKodesh and from the beauty of the Torah and from the beauty of Gedolei Yisrael. And as I said, we had nothing to do except for learn. There was literally Shmuel, nothing to do. There was one baker in Yerushalayim, Breezels. I don't know if it's still there. In Rehov Amalchi Yisrael in Gula, and that was it. There was a pizza shop. Uri's Pizza. They're still there?
Yeah.
Can't believe it. Going down the stairs?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Sukkadio.
What?
Sauce is very famous.
Sauce, okay. So that's it. That was the extent of what there was in Yerushalayim, HaKadosh Daniel, nothing else. We had nothing to do except to sit and learn. No telephones, no nothing. I think I've said this often before.
No dress protests, no, you know.
That's not completely true. I don't know if I should. I'll tell you. I'm a shtickle character. When I was young, I was a bigger shtickle character. At that time, there was an ASIC in this Yerushalayim. I also went to Mirom on Lag BaOmer. And that was an absolutely, how shall I describe it, horrific experience. Horrific. It's not what it is today. They literally shechted animals right there on the spot. The only thing I forgot to bring was my fireman boots. And I was literally wallowing in blood. I'm not exaggerating. I remember it out of your mouth.
A few years ago they were doing it.
It's a bit more than that, but you're right. It's not that long ago where they actually became a bit more civilized in their approach. But this is also a very exciting moment. I spend much time in Tzfat. I love the city of Tzfat. And the rarefied atmosphere of Tzfat, I found to be very moshech. I fell in love with a sefer called Siddur Shal Shabbos. He's buried actually in Tzfat on the mountainside. And I used to go there quite often. He speaks about the beauty of Shabbos. I was very taken by Shabbos. The Shabbos that I had here in Eretz Yisrael, the most beautiful Shabbos in my life, used to sing in the yeshiva. The yeshiva had one washing station for 500 Talmidim. You know what that means? When you wash on Friday night or on Shabbos morning, you have to wait a half hour, minimally. So what do? We used to sing. Is that a hefsek? No question about it. We used to sing. I remember the nigger we used to sing. Javi, you remember the nigger? We used to sing it again and again. The Rosh Hashiva loved it. La 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 ba da dum bum bum. Bum ba da dum bum 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 bum. Bum ba da bum bum ba da bum bum ba da bum bum ba da. Bum ba da dum bum 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 ba da dum bum bum. Half hour. We used to sing this. Shalshulis, we used to have shalshulis for 3 hours. I'm not exaggerating. We would sing, it was pitch black, no electricity, in the dark. I think I mentioned something else at the beginning of the year. The yeshiva. Did I mention the name of the yeshiva? I did. The food is not exactly ay ay ay. When I was in the yeshiva, I lost 50 pounds. In the morning, I had a few tomatoes. Some esho. Some akim az esho. And lunchtime is to serve itriot. Itriot essentially is a kind of pasta. I can't exactly identify it. I have to put it under an electron microscope. But whatever the case is, Shabbos, we had cholent. I've told the cholent story before. You want that? I'll try to end with this, although I should end on a positive note. He keeps saying, we used to have a Torah nut in the mitbach. On Friday night, each one took turns. One Friday night, I'm in the mitbach. It was my turn, my Toranut, and I hear a lot of splashing going on. And the cholent pot was the most massive pot I saw in my entire life. It was like a wooden range on the floor, and on top of the range was this massive pot, which was taller than all of us. A very tall pot, not even taller than you are. Anyway, I hear splashing. I said, what is going on here? I found a little ladder, or a step stool. I step up on the ladder, look into the pot. Lo and behold, who is in the pot? There's an Arab inside the pot. Mr. Cholent, we're going to eat tomorrow morning. And the Arab is there with his boots. What is he doing? Hagosa. On Shabbos, Hagosa is stirring the pot. Because the pot needed some stirring. So he decided, since apparently was not, didn't look like he was going to get ready by Shabbos morning, he went inside the pot to stir the pot. I saw that, I said to myself, I am not eating that cholent. That's for sure. I quickly got out of there and I didn't say a word. Next morning, the cholent comes out. I said to myself, what should I do? I said, I think I gotta tell at least one person. At least one person. I couldn't control myself. Well, what am I supposed to do? I called my closest chaver. My closest chaver is today Rosh Hashiva here in Eretz Yisrael. He was my roommate. He's the author of Sfarim. He's an Israeli. Bogea Mishum. He's an Ilui Otsum. Ilui Otsum. I just met him for the first time in 42 years a few months ago. He said a shiur in my neighborhood. Nirama. One of my children told me to sing a shiur. I went to see him. And I started up with him with the shiur. Of course, he didn't know who I was. I didn't have a clue. But I started up with him. The only one in the entire audience who started up is the Rebbe Tam Chacham. And then after the shiur was over, the person told me, Al Tafriya! Miza, miata! You know, the way Israelis normally handle. Then I continued to be my friend all the time. He said, I finished, I didn't agree with him. Whatever the case is. And then after the Shia came over to him, I told him who I was. He almost fainted away. He says, Avisha did it? Lo emi. Makahalacha b'meshech abayim shayim shen me. What happened to you? I says, Ne'alamti me'ofe. Anyway, the kids said, back to the story. I told one chaver, not one soul ate the cholent the entire yeshiva. The yeshiva is sitting there. Not no one's eating the cholent. Nobody! Not a soul! Rashiva is about to eat the cholent and he decides something is going on here, something's fishy in the state of Denmark. And we're singing away. Anyway, in yeshiva we step cholent till Tuesday night. Not that cholent. Every cholent, because till the Yemei Kabbalah you had cholent. I had a great experience. The yeshiva changed my life completely. I became nimshach to learning in a fashion that was unbelievable. What I decided to do earlier, I completely changed my Tai Kibbutz, and all because of the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. And from that point on, I dreamt, how am I going to get back Isaac to Eretz Yisrael? When I left Eretz Yisrael, I bought a sefer. I haven't seen it in 42 years. It speaks about the beauty of Yerushalayim, and I was crying the entire airplane flight. I said to myself, how can I go back? To the Bronx, Olam HaShalom, New York. Name deal, Flatbush, Yir HaKadosh. Or Muncie, whose name Muncie, Yir HaKadosh, but Yerim Yameinu.
My dear son.
Right, thank you. That's right. And Baruch Hashem, the Baruch Hashem was kind to me, and in 94, we were zochah to come back to Eretz Yisrael, come back to the Dusha of Eretz Yisrael, come back to the beauty of what this country has to offer. And I maintain, if a quarter of a million Americans and Anglos, I'll take them also, if they come to Eretz Yisrael, we will totally and completely transform this country. You know what we'll introduce? Moderation, balance, things like that. And we'll turn the country.
Manners.
on its head. Halavai, all of you should be zocheh to realize what the Ramban realized and what Yisrael realized. Eretz Yisrael is not for its physical, material aspects, but the ruchnis Eretz Yisrael, the dusha of Eretz Yisrael, that's what it's all about.